Track 6. Here we are, round to another of these weekly sports reports, and I'm going to start this time with news from Stourton Park, the home of Stourbridge Rugby. It was a busy day there on Saturday when the club welcomed back for their annual lunch all the many former players who've worn the club colours over the years. Their presence added to regular and visiting supporters watching both Stourbridge Rugby and the amateur Lions team made for a jolly afternoon. That was helped, of course, by victory for both teams. The senior side posted their 7th win out of 7 league matches in National League 2 North this season, the victims this time being Huddersfield. Although the latter had won only 2 of their previous league encounters this season, along with 1 match drawn, they had suffered a couple of defeats by the narrowest of margins and looked set fair to provide the toughest opposition yet faced by the home side. And so it appeared as the first half progressed. Stourbridge had opened the scoring with a well-worked try, following lengthy periods of possession of the ball and some swift handling among both backs and forwards. But the visitors countered with a try of their own, and 7-all at half-time suggested that Stourbridge, playing uphill second half and pestered by a nagging crosswind, still had plenty to do to maintain their unbeaten record. But the match progressed in an entirely different direction. A successful penalty nudged the home side ahead, and they followed that up with a surging run and overlap which produced a try in the corner, and although that score was not converted, Stourbridge were 8 points to the good. If supporters sighed with relief at that, moments later they were wildly applauding a breakout from the team's own half of the field. A pass out wide to fullback Haisila, and his pace outdistanced the Huddersfield defence, and he put the ball down under the posts. 22-7 now, and 2 more tries followed as confidence flowed through the team, victory and another 4-try bonus point was secured. Huddersfield scored 2 late tries of their own to put some respectability on the scoreboard, but by that stage Stourbridge were in easy street and could afford some generosity. 32 points to 17, the final score, and the team still atop the league table and facing a trip to meet Leicester Lions, who've won their last 3 matches, this coming Saturday. Meanwhile, those other Lions, the Stourbridge variety, faced Rugby Lions, from the South Warwickshire town of that name, who had already won 4 and drawn 1 of their previous league matches this season and were top of the league, whereas our Lions had won only once and were near the bottom. But the form book was out of the window as Stourbridge won this match by 24 points to 10 and considerably eased their relegation worries as a result, thanks to a brilliant team effort all round. And finally on the local rugby scene, there was a return to winning ways for the Dudley Kings Winford Club, who secured a 6-try victory by 40 points to 29 on a visit to Camp Hill. A pretty good day all round for our local teams and their supporters. But not so for Stourbridge Football Club, the Glass Boys. After my build-up last week about the club's glorious tradition in the FA Cup, their interest in this year's competition came to an abrupt halt in the 4th qualifying round on Saturday when Macclesfield visited the Memorial Ground. 5-0 to the visitors was the scoreline, perhaps underlining why Macclesfield occupy top position in the National League at the moment. That's just 1 level below English League 2 and is 2 rungs of the ladder above where Glass Boys play their league soccer. This match was probably all over as a contest within the first quarter hour. Already 2 goals up by that stage, the visitors were seemingly in cruise control, and they added a 3rd before the interval and completed the rout more or less at leisure in the second half. Their 5 goals were contributed by 5 different scorers. The home side tried their hardest and had 1 or 2 opportunities to score, which went begging. They were also denied what appeared a good call for a penalty, but in truth they were outclassed, as manager Gary Hackett freely admitted after the game. Glass Boys now need to regroup and concentrate on their league campaign. Until last week's shock home defeat by lowly Hales Owen Town, they were among the challengers for promotion in the Northern Premier League, and they will want to steady the ship and get back to that level as quickly as possible, starting with a home fixture against Grantham on Saturday. Hales Owen Town themselves, by the way, followed up that shock win over Glass Boys with another victory last midweek against Hensford, and suddenly their miserable start to the season was beginning to look a whole lot brighter. But it came crashing down on Saturday when they lost 3-1 against Altrincham. And news of West Midlands senior soccer sides at the weekend included a 1-0 win for Birmingham City versus the Championship High Flyers, Cardiff City. A very welcome fillip this for the team and their new manager Steve Cottrell, one that's lifted them out of the bottom 3 in the league table. However, the big local match at the weekend saw even higher flyers Wolves, currently at the very top of the Championship League table, win the local derby against Villa 2-0. And Albion didn't see any action until Monday evening, when they were held to a 1-1 draw by Leicester City at the Hawthorns. Now for some Speedway news, probably for the last time this season. After their disappointment in losing the Elite League Championship playoff final over home and away legs against Swindon, the Wolverhampton Wolves were involved in a similar setup last week versus Bellevue in the two-leg final of the Knockout Cup competition. The first leg of this at their own Monmore Green circuit on Tuesday last week resulted in a 50-40 victory for the patched-up Wolves side, still minus their Swedish stars Freddie Lindgren and Jacob Torsell due to injury. The club had drafted in visiting riders, no fewer than four of them, to patch up the team, but the strangers did well in Wolves colours, and that 10-point winning margin was a handy lead to take into the second leg. That should have taken place in Manchester the next evening. A start to the racing was made, but after only six laps, the rain which had been falling earlier that day returned and made the track too dangerous. The second leg of the final was eventually erased on Monday evening this week, with Wolves still lacking their own injured stars and having to draft in guest riders. That proved crucial as the home side took full advantage of their familiarity with their home track to post a victory by 52-38, thus achieving an aggregate win by 4 points over the two legs of the final. It's been a frustrating end to the 2017 season for Wolves, beaten in the final of both the league and cup competitions. But as they alone were the team who made it to the final of each of these premier competitions, I suppose you could say their season has been about 98% successful. And there's been no further news yet that I've seen about the Cradley Heathens, who were reported a couple of weeks ago to be facing closure due to the lack of their own track and the difficulties of fitting them into the racing programme at the two tracks where they ride as guests in the area. I'll let listeners know if and when the word is out. But there is news of Stourbridge's up-and-coming table tennis starlet, Charlotte Bardsley. I know I've been banging on a lot about this young lady recently, but I can now report that she's been selected to join the England Youth table tennis squad. She will be one of 19 promising youngsters who will receive regular training over the coming winter under the guidance of national coaches and will take part in the national fitness training programme. Clearly her potential's been noted, and the 15-year-old seems to have a big future in the sport. As we move into winter, I like to remind myself of sunnier times by keeping up with the tennis news. The big competitions at this time of year tend to be in the Far East, and that valiant old warhorse, Roger Federer, aged 36 now, proved he's still top of the heap by defeating Rafa Nadal, no longer exactly a spring chicken himself any longer, in the final of the Shanghai Masters Tournament. Roger won in straight sets, 6-4, 6-3, in not much over an hour to achieve his fourth tennis title of 2017. His service, as much as anything else, overpowered the Spaniard in the final. With Andy Murray still nursing himself back to fitness by the end of the year, he hopes, what British interest there was in this tournament had ended by the second round when Kyle Edmund was defeated and Ali Azbedani retired injured from his match. And while that was taking place, at Tianjin, also in China, Maria Sharapova won her first tennis title since returning from her drugs ban. She had been accepted into this tournament on a wild card as she had no recent tournament form to qualify her for automatic entry. Her opponent in the final, a 19-year-old from Belarus called Ariana Sabalenka, who I must confess I'd never heard of before, put up a good fight, but Sharapova won a tight match in straight sets, 7-5, 7-6. And that's about all the sports news and gossip for this week's edition. I'm looking forward to following Stourbridge Rugby on their short visit to play Leicester Lions on Saturday, and along with fellow supporters, we are trying to work out how we may manage a weekend away to follow the team when they play Tynedale up at Corbridge in Northumbria at the beginning of December. If all goes well between now and then, that should be the clash between the top two teams in League Two North. Both are unbeaten so far, but we won't tempt Providence. Unfortunately, we're finding that hotels in the area are pretty much all full already. That will be the longest away trip the team will face all season, and we dedicated followers would love to be part of it. Meanwhile, I'll be back in the hot seat here next week. So until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.